Well, I want to add this evening, I've entitled this message, The Shield of Faith, and I want to look at this in light of what we've been talking about and sharing from these lessons, and those are available on our website. You can just look it up, go to the messages area, the free downloads area, and look up on the Heart and Mouth Connection and all of these past messages. And I want to just add to this evening on the shield of faith and tie that to the heart and mouth. Since we're talking about faith and its impact on our heart and our mouth, I also want to look at this on the shield of faith and look at a few particular scriptures where that's highlighted. But in looking at the heart and mouth, we've been looking at seed, and the Word of God is seed. It says the seed is the Word of God. This is Luke chapter 8, and it was referring to the Word of God being the seed. This was in the parable of the sower. And so when we look at Mark 26, and we look at in the King James Version, and Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, Jesus speaking, he said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground." And he's speaking in a parable here. In verse 27, "And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how, for the earth..." This is verse 28, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself," how? "First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear." And then verse 29, when it says, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And we were referring back, and if you go back to in this particular chapter, in the Gospel of Mark, if you go back and look at verses 15 through 20, it begins to talk about the ground is the heart of man. And so when the seed, when it talks about the seed being sown into the ground, it's talking about the seed or the Word of God being sown into our hearts. And so we were referring to this before, is that when it talks about first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, we're talking about a process in not just we go from seed to harvest, we're talking about seed and then there's a process. And we had made mention in the past lesson, something Brother Hagin said years ago when he was alive, he said, the reason people don't realize as much success in their faith is because they reject the watering process. And he went on to explain in saying that when people hear the Word of God for the first time, they're excited, they rejoice. And then when they hear it the second and third time, they'll say, I've heard that already. You know, we may have even done that ourselves. But we have got to constantly do what? Water the seed that's been planted in our hearts. And the watering is the Word of God. And so the Word of God must be planted first. Any harvest that has to be realized, there has to be a seed that's planted. But just because you plant the seed doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to get a harvest. So just like a farmer, just because he plants the seed doesn't guarantee he's going to get a harvest. All the conditions have to be there. And you know, the climate has to be right, the sunshine, right amount of rain, soil has to be right. And so all of those conditions have to be right. But just because we plant a seed, even the seed of the Word of God, doesn't guarantee a harvest. So we have to nurture that seed, water it, and can watch over it, as we've been sharing in past lessons. We got to do what? Guard our heart. And guard the seed, guard the ground that where it's been planted. And when we do, we'll realize a harvest. Now, going back here, I want to continue here, and let's look at Mark 11, 22, talking about faith. And Mark 11, 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." And then verse 23, it continues, and it's talking about when we say faith, verse 23 is talking about faith that's spoken faith, and then also where we're confessing something, and then verse 24, it's talking about faith where we're praying. But here in verse 23, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou what? Cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now here we can see, even from the scripture here, there is a process. In other words, you've got to speak to the mountain. Just because you speak to something doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have what you say. We can see this here in the scripture. It says you have to say to the mountain, what? Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And then what does it go on to say? It says here, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass. Then he shall have whatsoever he saith. There's the process. So we can see here that in verse 22, when we talk about faith, this is just exciting here to me when it says, have faith in God. So if you don't have faith in God, you're going to have faith in something else. Or if you don't believe in God or have confidence in God, you're going to have belief or confidence or assurance in something else. And so we need to examine and see what is our confidence in? What is our assurance in? Is it in God or is it in something else? Because Jesus said here that we're to have faith in God. When we do, and faith in God is present, then we can speak to things having the faith of God and do what? Doubt not, but believe that those things that we say shall come to pass, will have whatsoever we say. Isn't that exciting? So here, I wanted to just pick up this evening and look at something from the scriptures. And now let's look at Ephesians chapter 10. And this is what I wanted to kind of look at this evening. And talking about faith, but looking at the armor of God where faith is concerned. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 16 and really focus on 16. But I want us to look at verses 10 through 16. It says, "Finally..." You know, when somebody says finally, this is interesting here. Now, Paul, he preceded this, right? He's written chapter 1, 2, 3. Well, they're not in chapters, but he wrote this letter. And he did what? If you wrote a long letter, you'd say finally. That means in conclusion. I've shared all of this, and finally, I've left the most important thing to conclude with. So here he's saying here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Isn't that interesting? He said, if you put on the whole armor of God, you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we wrestle not," verse 12, "against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's telling you here what we wrestle against, what we're up against, not flesh and blood. In verse 13, wherefore, he says again, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And now he begins to show us what he's using this illustration of a soldier and all of the parts of their gear or what they have on, and how that pertains to something spiritual, the spiritual armor of God. And he's using a soldier here as an illustration. He's saying here, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. And they say that this loin belt that was girt about around the waist held all of the other parts in place. So what was it? It was the loin. It says here, your loins girt about with truth. What are we referring to? The word of God. And he said here, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now, verse 16, this is really what I want to focus on this evening. Above all. Now, just let's stop here. When he says above all, this Greek word here, above all, doesn't mean above truth. It doesn't mean above the other parts. It means positionally, not in a matter of importance. So when we say something, sometimes we read something, say above all, that means it's more important than the other parts. No, this Greek word here means positionally. Positionally, it's more important. It's above all positionally than the other parts. It has a greater significance. What's he talking about here? Above all, taking the shield of faith. So here, Paul is saying, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that the shield of faith, positionally, its importance is not its importance, it's where it's positioned and what it's the significance of it is more important, is positionally more important. It's above all. Wherewith ye shall be able to do what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Wow. When I read that and I began to meditate on that over the last few days, I tell you, it just expanded in me. When we're talking about the heart and the mouth connection, we're talking about faith being planted or the impartation of faith through the Word of God, through the Rhema Word of God, and faith coming and faith being released with our words. Then when we talk about the shield of faith and its ability to do what? Quench or to extinguish or to put out all, that's inclusive, all the fiery darts of the wicked. So here, Paul is describing here, he's describing the spiritual armor, and he's listing first, if you notice here, in verse 14, when he begins to list the pieces of armor, he lists the loins girt about with truth. He lists that first. Why? The Word of God is first place. And when you read about the Roman armor, the loin belt, which wrapped around the soldier's waist, kept in place his breastplate. He hung his sword from it. And when his shield was not in use, he clipped this big shield to it to hook onto and to rest in. So what does that mean? The Word of God is central to everything. It holds up. It's the central core of everything. Hallelujah. So here, this lets us know that the Word of God, when we're talking about the loin belt, we're talking about or referencing the Word of God, it's central and foremost to everything else. And so our ability to walk in strong faith is determined by the presence or the absence of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now let's take a look at Romans 10:17, because since we're talking about this, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, in the King James, we just said here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God, the Rhema Word of God. That word there in that verse, word, is Rhema. It's not logos. So this here is saying that faith cometh by hearing and hearing. This is ongoing here. Hearing and hearing the Rhema or the inspired, revealed Word of God. And so we see here that faith cometh, and we were sharing this in the past lesson, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing revelation from the Word of God, revealed Word of God. And so revelation knowledge, or we could say the Bible, the Word of God, is progressive revelation. This is what the scripture is saying here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's progressive. It's unfolded or revealed to us. So we would share, we can grow. We were just making, I'm making some references to last lesson, is that our faith can grow or expand. How? Through the knowledge of God. It can expand or grow through revelation knowledge. So if we can increase in our revelation knowledge, then we can increase in our faith. And so faith is also, we shared, is translated, that word faith is also translated more accurately, assurance or confidence. So when we say our faith can grow, it means our confidence can grow. Our assurance can grow through revelation knowledge, through hearing and hearing the Rhema Word of God. So God's supernatural faith, or we could say God's supernatural assurance or confidence, can and does change our hearts. And when our hearts are changed, our belief is changed. What is 2 Corinthians 4:13? We believe and therefore speak. And we had shared that faith impacted the voices or the speech of David when he spoke to Goliath. He said, I've killed a bear, I've killed a lion. And he said, and you're just like them, I'm going to take you down. And so his voice, his speech, was affected by his faith, his belief. So was Joshua and Caleb. They said, we're at this age, but we can take this land, we can take it. And so there, even though they marched around with unbelieving troop, and did for 40 years, it appears it didn't affect their faith. So we can see from this that Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we know from Psalm 119:130, the entrance of his word, or the unfolding or the revealing of his word, giveth light. This is revelation. And this affects our hearts, and it affects faith in our hearts. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Ephesians again, verses 16 in chapter 6. And we want to continue looking at this again. And it says here, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And again, this word above all does not mean the shield of faith is more important than your loins girt about with truth. So this here is talking about, again, it's positionally. And when you look up and you read about the Roman soldier, they had two different kinds of shields. They had a small round shield that they say was very ornate, and it was used more for parades. It was used more for show. It wasn't for protection. And you can see that out, and it's borne out in the Greek words that are used for this. And so when they use this word shield, it's a different Greek word that's used, and it said it was for battle, for protection, but they said it was wide and it was long. And they described it like a door. What was its purpose? Its purpose was to protect and to fully cover the soldier. It's wide enough to cover them and tall enough to cover them for protection. And they said it was covered with as much as 6 layers of animal hide, and they had to keep it oiled, and they had to keep it, they said before they would go into battle, just reading about this, they said that before they would go into battle, they would soak it in water so that it became drenched in water, so that when the fiery darts hit it, when the arrows that they said would come, flaming arrows, it would quench them. So here Paul is writing in here. He's using this description when he talks about fiery darts. He's using something to describe something, what happened in the natural, but he's using a spiritual analogy here. He's talking about spiritual, our spiritual armor. So here, no soldier would have gone into war without a shield. It wasn't optional. And so the same with us. We can either take up that shield or take up and put on the armor or not. When it says put on the armor, that means we have to do something. So this shield guaranteed the soldier protection from deadly bombardments, whatever they were. And so here's where I wanted to kind of land on that. Some Christians are facing the enemy without the shield of faith. Because what did we just get done seeing? It said this shield of faith is able to quench not just some, all the fiery darts of the wicked. This also would let us know here that we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. And also I would just point out, when we talk about being able to expand or grow in faith, this scripture here, when it says here, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all. I know you're not here, but say it again, all the fiery darts of the wicked. That means that there's no quantification on faith here. This says here that even when we have a measure of faith, that whatever faith we have been imparted, it's enough. When we look at this scripture here, this says this does not qualify it. It doesn't say here you need a little bit more. It says here the shield of faith that you have and take up is able. It didn't qualify it, does it? It says the shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So that means we need to focus on, are we picking up and are we walking with the shield of faith active every day? Because we're all facing, every one of us are facing and confronted with fiery darts that come from the wicked. This says here that every one of us are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked if we take up this shield of faith and we pick it up and take that piece of armor. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. I want to take a look at this for a moment because Paul is writing to his son Timothy, and Timothy here, he's saying in 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19, talking about faith here. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war," what? A good warfare. And then verse 19, what does it say? "Holding faith," "and a good conscience." This means here, making sure your heart's right, that you're walking in love towards one another, because faith worketh by love. This means here, if your heart is not right, you're not walking in love towards your brothers and sisters, it can affect your faith. So here it says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some," "having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." And boy, I'll tell you, this is clear here that in the New Living Translation, it says, "Cling to your faith in Christ, keep your conscience clear." And then it says, "For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked." So here it's important to see that keeping the shield of faith, or as Paul wrote to Timothy, warring a good warfare, holding faith, keeping a good conscience, which some have done what? Put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, meaning they didn't make it. They crashed and burned. And so here, let's go back to Ephesians 6 again and 16. Wanted to just point that out. And again, let's continue in this verse, in verse 16. And again, "Above all, taking the shield of faith," and it continues, "wherewith," I'm just going word by word here, "wherewith ye shall be able." Now I want to stop right there, because then it says, "wherewith ye shall be able to do what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." But this says, "wherewith." That means, when he's talking about, what is he talking about? Wherewith, this word means by the use of, by which, or the use of what? The shield of faith. And then it says, "shall be able." That phrase in the Greek, you can look it up, it says dunamis. Oh my goodness. "Wherewith," or by use of, "the shield of faith, you shall be able." Well, what does that mean? I have a book that I reference sometimes. This is by Rick Renner. And you may want to look this up. It's called Dress to Kill. It's a biblical approach to spiritual warfare and armor. And he references in part of this, he goes through the armor of the Roman soldier. And he, again, being a Greek scholar, he's gone through and looked at all of this and highlighted some things from the Roman soldier's dress and how that pertains spiritually. But this is what he said in this book, Dress to Kill. He said, "This phrase would be better translated," meaning "shall be able," "wherewith shall be able." He said, "This phrase would be better translated, by use of this shield, you will have explosive and dynamic power." Ooh, my goodness. I'll tell you, that just went off in me. So when we hold the shield of faith, and it is covering us, protecting us from the fiery darts, we've released the dynamic power of God. The power of God is what? Protecting us. And so here, when we hold the shield of faith, and it's saturated with the Word of God and anointed by the Holy Spirit, we're protected. So let's take a look at 1 Peter 1:5. So I want to take a look at this when we're looking at the connection between faith and the power of God. Or we could say the connection between the power of God and faith. But 1 Peter 1:5, and the Apostle Peter is declaring here, he's saying, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Hallelujah. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So let's go back and look again. Let's go back and take a quick look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 again. Let's look at it again. Let's let our eyes look at this. You see it on your device? And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith, or by the use of, ye shall be able, that means here, wherewith, what we were saying, this might be better translated, by the use of this shield, you will have explosive and dynamic power that's able to what? Quench, extinguish, put out all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. So here, there's a connection between the power of God and the operation of faith. Our faith, because we've heard this from so many lessons through the years, our faith activates the power of God and does what? It builds a strong wall of defense or protective shield, as we're talking about shield, between you and every demonic attack that might come against you. Hallelujah. So our faith in the Word of God, which comes from the Word of God, when it's released, activates the power of God. The shield goes up. You know, some of you, we talk about the shield. You know, some of us in this era that we live in, we might think about Star Wars. Put up the shields. And so what did it do? It protected them against all the incoming attacks that would come from all of those different things that were hitting them. But here, the shield of faith, our faith activates the power of God, which comes from the Word of God, and the shield of faith comes up and does what? Protects us from every fiery dart. It's able to quench. So when these two are active, the power of God and the shield of faith, we become fortified and we become invulnerable and protected. It will quench all the fiery darts and attacks of the wicked one or the enemy. So just in the natural, we become like an army tank. We become fortified. We become armed like an army tank. And what happens? What do army tanks do? Do they retreat? No, they're fortified. Now, yes, we know in the natural, some of them, if something's more powerful, but we're talking about something spiritual here. God is saying in his word that his power is greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So when the shield of faith comes up, it's able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So in the natural, just all conditions being right in the natural sense, an army tank is able to do what? Move forward and do what? It's able to move forward, move its position forward without loss. Hallelujah. So the same with us. When we put up that shield of faith, doesn't mean that the devil's not going to try and stop us. But we can do what? Stand against. This is what it said. Putting on the whole armor of God, standing against the wiles of the devil. So when we put up the shield of faith, he may try to stop us. But we can move forward and do what? Take ground. Take ground. Take back what the devil stole from us. And we are what? Protected. Hallelujah. So now here's another thought to consider when we talk about this. When temptation comes, let's just take a quick look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And so when we talk about protection, giving us protection here with the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked. And look at 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. It says, there hath what? No temptation. See, the devil's going to try to come. He says, taken you such as is common to man, but what? God is faithful. And we know Hebrews says God is faithful that what? That promised. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. This talks about the faith that we have. If we just operate in the faith that we have, it's enough. We're able to do what? Take the faith that we have, release it, and the shield of faith comes up and does what? Protects us. It's our way of escape. So here, who says, who will not suffer you or suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but you will with the temptation, it says here, also make a way of escape that you may be able to do what? Bear it. That means you're not shipwrecked. That means to me, what is our way of escape? The shield of faith. Faith. The shield of faith. When faith is released and the power of God is activated, the shield of faith is there, and it does what? It quenches and protects us against all the wiles and wicked things that happen and come in our lives. So it, to me, when we look at just this particular scripture here, the devil's goal, what is it? To try to do what? Seize your mind and paralyze it with what? Fear. And to flood it with all kinds of rational or irrational kind of thoughts. And he's trying to do what? He's trying to captivate your mind and thoughts. And if he can get you to believe it and let that sink down in your heart and you start to release words that do what? Begin to release destruction in what? In your life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I would just encourage us, go back and meditate on this particular scripture. The shield of faith, it doesn't quantify and say we have to have strong faith, although faith can grow and expand, our confidence can grow and expand and increase. Faith can increase, our confidence can increase through revelation knowledge. But the key is use what you have, use the faith here when it says taking the shield of faith. This word, when it says taking the shield of faith, that means that we can either take it or put it down. We can pick it up or put it down. If you look up the Greek word, it means we're the ones that have to take it up, or we have the choice to not. So for us, let's go forth this week. Let us not be discouraged, right? When we opened up in the beginning of this lesson, when it says Jesus answering or saying, have faith in God, and then continued and said, whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain. What does that mean? It means having the faith of God does what? Says something, speaks something. So don't walk by what you see. Walk by the unseen. Walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. My faith, my conviction is of things not seen. I set my things on things above, not on things of this earth. And so I just hope you got something out of that, something to feed upon, that above all, we're to do what? Take the shield of faith, wherewith we are able to quench. It says, ye shall be able to quench all, that's all inclusive, all the fiery darts of the wicked. So I'd encourage you, get this message. We don't charge for our messages. Download them, feed upon it, and meditate upon this. I like what other ministers have shared. Pastor Hagen shares this. Others have shared it. Don't face your mountain with your mouth closed. If you're facing some kind of trial, an obstacle, it says, what does it say? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? Worketh patience. So when we're, and it says, what does it also say? That it says that faith without works, faith without an action is dead, being alone. So we need to do what? Activate our faith. Activate this faith how? By speaking, releasing words, standing up, didn't say I have to feel like it, but I'm going to speak to those obstacles, speak to that mountain, and then what happens? The dunamis power of God is released, and the shield of faith is there to cover, just like that Roman shield, to protect me from all the fiery darts. Quench them. Shut them down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, just before we conclude here, we want to just give those that might be tuning in an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if you believe that Jesus is the Savior, is the Christ, and he was raised from the dead, it also says that what? That if we believe that and say that with our mouth, it says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, ye shall be, or you shall be saved. You shall be born again. So for those that may not have done that, maybe you believed that, but you never knew that you had to say it with your mouth. Because when the heart and the mouth come together, the power of God is released. And what happens? The power of God is released to do what? Change you, make you a brand new person, redeem you into a brand new person, change that heart from a dead, separated heart from God to a redeemed heart, cleansed with the blood of Jesus, and now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. So let's just, if you're here and you've never made that profession of faith and you wanted to, let's just make this simple profession of faith. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son here to this earth to die for mankind, and I believe he took my sins and he took them to hell, and I believe that when sin was paid for and sickness was paid for, that he was raised, he was released from hell and raised from the dead. And I believe that Jesus is my Savior. And I ask him into my heart. And I believe by faith that I am changed, that I am saved, that I am cleansed from unrighteousness, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I am a new Christian. I am a brand new person in Christ, a born-again Christian. If you said that simple prayer, you became a brand new person in Christ, and we'd like to hear from you. Contact us. There's got some information up there on the screen that you can see. You can either email us at rlcc@redeeminglovecc.org, or you can mail us at the address there, or give us a call on the phone, 845-623-9300, and just tell them that you accepted Christ, and we will get to you. Let us know how you would like us to send that to you, and we will email you, or we will send you in the mail some free information about who you've become in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God.